It would be safe to say that you had one drink too many.
Correct.
This landlord couldn't hold her liquor.
I came back, tried to get into the house. She had locked me out.
Then she lost her grip on reality.
She stood right in the doorway, denied me entry, claimed she didn't know me. She was obviously inebriated. And I said, you need to let me in.
You were arrested by the police.
Yes, ma'am, I was.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Christopher Overhill is suing his former landlord, Rosanna Echevarria, for the return of a security deposit, property damage, and slander.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 153 on the calendar, the matter of Overhill versus Echevarria.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Mr. Overhill, it is your claim that the defendant, who was your landlord for a brief and unpleasant time, according to you, owes you for your security deposit back and for posting some things and disseminating some information about you that was not true.
Absolutely.
Ms. Echevarria has a counterclaim for month's rent and for some medical bills she alleges are as a result of you pushing her during an altercation. Now, it's a room in her house?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And you found that on Craigslist?
That's correct.
When?
It was approximately the end of February, around February 28th, and the first month's rent was March.
And how much was the rent?
The rent with the room and the furnishings and the DirecTV was $690 a month.
Okay. According to what I read, you were having some difficulty there because of fleas.
Absolutely, yes, Your Honor.
When did you start to experience difficulty?
The flea bites started approximately March 15th, and I immediately notified her that there's a severe flea infestation and asked her to take care of the problem.
And did anything occur as a result of that?
Not on her part.
Did you take care of the problem?
I bought 4 flea bombers, which did not kill them off because the cats continued to come into the house.
So they're outside, inside cats?
All the time.
Okay. Do you suffer from flea bites too?
No. No, Your Honor, I do not.
When Mr. Overhill told you about the flea problem, I assume he not only told you about it, but he also showed you evidence of it.
He showed me some evidence of it. Yes, he did.
And the evidence was on his legs?
No.
Where?
It was in a picture.
Give it to me again. He showed you what?
A picture of the fleas on a text message picture.
Is that how you told her about the problem?
No, it's not. I actually showed her my flea bites on my legs and arms, and I also had photos of those
bites. I believe you.
Thank you.
I don't believe you. Because if someone who lives in the house says, you know, I have this flea problem, and unless it was on some part of their body that they might be embarrassed to expose, they would say, look at my arms and look at my legs. Don't look at me like this. I don't believe that he didn't say that, since you acknowledge he told you about the fleas.
Yes, I bombed the house.
You acknowledge he told you about the fleas, and I don't believe that he didn't show you the evidence of it if, according to what you just said to me, that you took some action. That's what you say, so I don't believe you.
I bombed the house, Your Honor.
I don't believe that he didn't show you his flea bites.
I didn't.
How many people live in your house?
Just myself.
And him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he showed you his flea bites on his arms and his legs, which is why you ultimately, according to you, bombed it out. Okay. Now, what happened on June 4th, Mr. Overhill?
I arrived at the residence at about 5 o'clock p.m., and I was immediately alarmed because there was water pouring out the front door. I used my key, I entered, and discovered that the defendant had a hose attached and had flooded the house.
From where?
I have a photo to show you.
I'd like to see it.
Absolutely. There's an atrium plant area that runs in the dining room and living room. And I don't know why, but she had used this hose to flood the entire home.
Is this an accident?
Yes, it was. I had left the hose
so
on.
So tell me, just a second, tell me how the accident happened.
I was washing the atrium and trimming it. So I had left the hose on as I was washing it. And then when I came back out of the bathroom, there was water all over the place. So the water just came out too fast.
Okay, so you flooded the inside of the house.
And it wasn't the whole house. It was just the asphalt of the atrium.
Okay, so that's what you found when you came home.
Exactly.
And?
So I was alarmed, but I went back to the master bedroom. That's my area. I had left something in my car. So I left the master bedroom area, went back outside to my car. Within a moment, I came back, tried to get into the house. She had locked me out. I knocked and knocked And I was asking her, what's going on? Why am I locked out? Open the door. My house keys are inside. She finally opened it and stood right in the doorway, denied me entry, actually claimed that I don't live there, claimed she didn't know me. She was obviously inebriated. And I said, you need to let me in. You know I rent the master bedroom. I've paid you. I'm a tenant. You need to let me access.
Okay. So at some point, the police were called.
Absolutely.
And they were called by you.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was also on the 4th of June.
That's correct.
And on the 4th of June, Ms. Echeverria, you were arrested by the police.
Yes. Yes, ma'am, I was. Yes.
And on the 4th of June, it would be safe to say that considering what happened with the police that day, you had a little bit too much to drink.
Correct.
Which probably accounts for you flooding the house and the incident that surrounds Mr. Overheel's complaint. Yeah. Your complaint alleges two things, that she damaged some property of yours and that she refuses to return your security deposit. Let's talk about those two things first. How much of a security deposit did you give to her?
I gave her $200.
And did she return that to you?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
Your Honor, I hadn't heard from him at all.
Okay, so is the reason you did not give him his security deposit because you didn't hear from him?
And he hadn't paid me rent. He left belongings there. I had to store them. We sent him a certified letter stating that he would have to...
What things did he leave in the house?
He left a 1989 TV, a table, a few ski suits, whatever, working suits, some bamboo sticks... A lot of trash.
Why did you leave this stuff in the house, sir?
Your Honor, on June 4th, when the police arrived, I was advised by the police and later by the district attorney that I should immediately leave.
I want to know why you left these things there. You're not suing for them and you've never requested them.
The only things that I left were, in fact, that TV because it was broken by her. I had no table in there. The suits that she's speaking about, they weren't mine. They were in the closet to begin with.
Okay.
And I packed up everything that I possibly could and left.
You owe him his security deposit. That's $200. Now, you say she destroyed property. So far, you're doing okay, Mr. Overheel. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's be very careful about the destroyed property. When and how did that happen?
On June 4th. After she'd already assaulted me, I then had called the police. I waited outside for them. While I'm outside waiting for them, I could see she was in that master bedroom, and I could hear things being thrown. When I did gain access back to the room with the police as my escort, that's when I discovered she had pried open a PS2 player, which had a DVD in it. She had taken the memory cards out of the PS2 player. She broke the DVD in half. She threw my lunch in the trash. She took a bottle of cologne, broke it, and spilled it on my clothes.
What else?
Those are the only items that she destroyed.
Let's move on to the next thing. Next thing you say is that Ms. Echeverria posted some things about you that were untrue.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see those things.
Absolutely.
You were, in fact, convicted either by a plea or a trial.
Yes, Your Honor, I was.
For disorderly conduct?
It was reduced to impeding with an officer's arrest, and I did community service, and I taught children music at the school right by my house.
Well, you were convicted?
Of a misdemeanor, yes.
You were convicted? Okay. Well, some of this is her own opinion of you, sir, but now I'm going to ask for some specific things. I would like you to tell me about your counterclaim, because that has relevance to what he's complaining about.
My counterclaim, Your Honor, is mainly because of the threatening texts that I had been receiving from him, attacking my character. The fact when he did move, he didn't surrender the keys. My father asked him for the keys. He wouldn't surrender them. He left all that property in the room. He locked me out of the room for a full month.
How did he lock you out of the room for a full month?
He changed the locks on the door. He said it was okay. He sent me a text that it was okay, according to the Sacramento Police Department, for him to change the lock on the door. Basically, my master bedroom was held hostage for a full month after that.
All you have to do is call in a locksmith, and the locksmith changes the lock back.
I did. The threatening text that I was getting, he told me I couldn't.
I would like to see a threatening text, or several.
These are photos of all of the texts, or some of the texts.
Oh, well, this is ridiculous.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
When did you have that conversation with him?
Verbal.
Well, it was a verbal conversation. That's what a conversation is. Now, did you have that conversation with her in the courthouse?
No, ma'am.
Yeah, I don't think you did either.
Hi.
cases, real people. Judge Judy. Christopher Overheel says former landlord Rosanna Echevarria owes for a security deposit, property damage, and slander. Rosanna is countersuing for rent and medical bills.
It's not threatening. It was you rented a room for the first time to somebody. It didn't work out. You shouldn't be renting a room to anybody because clearly you don't know what that's like to have a stranger living in your house. Mm-mm. He didn't understand what the parameters were. You probably have a little bit of a drinking problem because that's what happened that day on the 4th. You were acting irrationally. You have to give him his security deposit back. I'm not satisfied, sir, that you've established to my satisfaction any damage to your property.
Your Honor.
You can do whatever you want to do. I'm telling you what happened. What happened was I'm reading these texts. He wanted to park in front. You told him he couldn't park in front. He wanted to move the refrigerator shelf he was allowed to use to a different refrigerator shelf. It was petty and it was nonsense. And he had a legitimate beef with you. And his legitimate beef with you is he was physically injured by your cats and their fleas. And he showed you that. And whether the matter was resolved or not, that's something that would certainly make me very angry as a tenant.
I have receipts from Orkin that I did file an extermination complaint.
It shouldn't have happened in the first place.
The cats were
It
bathed.
Shouldn't have happened in the first place. You want to live with cats with fleas, that's your problem. But you don't rent a room to somebody in your house for $700 a month and expect them to tolerate your flea-bitten cats. That's outrageous. Okay. I'm satisfied that you deserve your security deposit back, sir. Judge, for the plaintiff in the amount of $200, your counterclaim's dismissed. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I was yelling at him to please move out.
Obviously, the judge saw right through her lies.
And then he pushed me into my atrium.
I never touched the woman.
I was accused of assaulting an officer.
And she assaulted this officer by ripping his badge off.
And that is so not true.
They had to throw her to the ground.
I damaged my shoulder. I broke my glasses.
If she's injured, it's because the officers...
To this day, it's been a nightmare.
Took her down and took her down hard.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Lipscomb versus Johnson. Step forward.
Irving Lipscomb is suing the mother of his child, Robin Johnson, for her share of their son's restitution and the return of child support he overpaid.
Mr. Lipscomb, there are two parts to your lawsuit. You and the defendant have a child together. I assume that that's you?
Yes, ma'am.
And the child's primary custodian is his mother.
Correct.
And has been with his mother for how many years?
All of his life.
And how old is he?
19.
But you are an involved dad. According to what I've read, there was a time when your son was in some difficulty with the law, and as part of the resolution of that case, he was ordered to make restitution.
Yes.
That's the first part of your lawsuit. And he had a period of time to make that restitution. Well, there came a time when he was in high school that he had an opportunity to play what kind of ball?
Football.
And that football opportunity came in another jurisdiction, another
yes.
state. And in order for the probation department in the state where you live, which is which state?
Illinois.
To let him move out of state, you were advised that he would have to completely pay off his restitution before they would consent to that move. You fully paid that restitution, and you claimed that there was an agreement with his mother for her to pay half.
Yes.
And that's the first part of your lawsuit. So yes. Let's deal with that first.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You'll only have one mother and one father. And it sounds to me as if for at least a period of time, your father was involved in your life, right?
Yes, ma'am.
It would be stupid for you to cut him out now. Yes,
real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Irving Lipscomb says the mother of his child, Robin Johnson, owes for half their son's restitution and the return of child support he overpaid.
How much was his restitution?
$1,590.40.
And how many years did he have to pay the restitution?
Over 4 years since the beginning.
And when was the order made?
I guess it was made in the beginning of the case back when he was 14 years old. I'm not sure the accurate date.
When he was 14?
Yes.
And he had 4 years to pay off the restitution. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that would have been the responsibility of both of you to pay that off anyway, because he's a minor.
Correct.
Who was the restitution to be paid to?
the county of DuPage.
Well, but ultimately it was to go to a victim, is that right?
Correct.
Was it a car case? Was it a burglary case? What was it?
Multiple cases, bicycle theft.
But it was going towards the victims?
Correct.
Okay, so you understand, Ms. Johnson, that you were legally required, and I assume from the time he was 14 up until the time when he was 17 or so, had you been paying this piece of the restitution?
No, ma'am.
Well, who had been?
It hadn't been paid at all.
But it had to be paid by the time he was 18?
Correct.
Well, how did you intend to pay his half?
We're going to make payments as well as we were possible. I was able to possibly make payments.
Well, then, why don't you think you're responsible, even if you didn't have an agreement? Mr. Lipscomb says you had an agreement. You said you would pay for half, but you had a legal obligation to pay.
I never told him that I would not pay him. I was not financially able to pay him at the time.
Oh, well, that's a different story. Then we have a different set of circumstances. So you acknowledge you owe minimally for half.
Of Kendall's restitution.
Of his restitution.
Correct.
See how easy that was?
Yes.
Right? Now let's get to the second part of your lawsuit, which is slightly more contentious, and that is that you overpaid child support.
Yes.
How that happened is really not relevant, because I think Ms. Johnson acknowledges that after a full audit, it was brought to her attention that you had, in fact, overpaid in your child support obligation. Would that be correct, Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
In what amount, sir?
$834.73.
So he overpaid child support over the course of his obligation to pay child support. You found out about it. The ball's in your court. Let me hear.
I took the money and used the money toward his high school graduation fees.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's fine if you had an agreement with him to do that.
When we found out about the overpayment in child support back in 2013, when all of this came to light about Kendall and the restitution and everything, and when Kendall and Urban and his father had a falling out. I'm sorry.
I don't care about their falling out. I'm talking about the money that was an overpayment, $834.
Yes.
So you tell me why you don't owe him that money. It would be like a stranger sending money, it lands in your account, and you spend it. You have to explain to me why you're not responsible to return this money to him.
Because Mr. Lipscomb stated to me, in order to mend the bridges between him and his son, to use the monies toward that, use the monies, the overpayment in child support toward Kendall's court fees. I'm sorry, school fees.
You're having a lot of trouble getting that out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you in a family dispute? Go to judgejudy.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
Okay. When did you have that conversation with him and where?
Verbal.
Well, it was a verbal conversation. That's what a conversation is. A conversation is verbal. Where were you and when did you have the conversation?
In February 2014.
Where?
Cook County Courthouse.
At the courthouse?
After I decided to terminate, just lost my train of thought, child support, because we went to court to terminate the child support.
Well, you didn't decide to
terminate it. At 18, when he graduated?
You didn't decide to terminate it.
Well, yes,
by the operation of law, it was going to be terminated on his 18th birthday.
Correct.
I read the papers.
Correct.
Papers say that you went to court to continue the child support until he graduated.
Correct.
From high school. So you went to extend the child
Correct.
Support beyond his 18th birthday. You did, in fact, extend the child support to his graduation. So you didn't elect to terminate the child support. It terminated by operation of law. Now, did you have that conversation with her in the courthouse?
No, ma'am.
Yeah, I don't think you did either. You have any communication with Ms. Johnson with regard to this $834?
Just verbally talked to her about the child support payment. As far as what she's saying about his graduation fees, I've never heard anything about it. I wasn't even invited to the graduation. So I don't know anything about graduation fees and letting her keep the extra money for any of those things.
Okay. What's your first name?
Kendall.
You'll only have one mother and one father. And it sounds to me as if for at least a period of time, a good period of time, your father was involved in your life, right?
Yes, ma'am.
It would be stupid for you to cut him out now. Really stupid. Make peace. It's easier. Do you understand? Judgment for the plaintiff for the amount of $1,629. Thank you. That's all.
Excuse me. Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy. In a fix over cash for car repairs.
You left, you took the car, the fixed car.
Right.
Is there any loan money still owed on that car?
We owe $11,000.
Oh.
Judge Judy.
Just constant, trying to keep contact and asking and requesting her portion of it.
It's not that I never did not want to pay him.
Just telling me that she never had the financial money to take care of it and all this kind of stuff.
Just at times financially, I'm unable to pay him.
Back and forth for the last 2 years, that's a long time.
And at the end of the day, I just hope my son, his son, our son.
I've always been there for him. Never turn my back on whatever they needed, something, I was there.
Can have a better relationship at this point.
And just get to a point that you just kind of get tired of being used for just that particular point.